H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A lawsuit filed by Jewish students at Harvard in the wake of the anti-Semitism protests after the October 7th attacks in Israel can move forward. A federal judge ruling that today, but did not offer an opinion about the merits of the claims about student hostility on campus. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details.
The decision says that there is a plausible allegation that Harvard did not do all it could have done to mitigate those fears. In other words, the facts as pled, the judge said, show that Harvard failed its Jewish students.
Democrats Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz from the governor of Minnesota campaigning in Wisconsin and Michigan today, taking their message on the road, campaigning in those states with 90 days left until the election day. Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance also holding events in battleground states. Extreme heat and winds in the West are challenging fire crews still battling major wildfires in key states. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Many in today's audience in Eau Claire are already familiar with Democratic vice presidential running mate Tim Walz. He's the governor of Minnesota, after all. Walz told a Philadelphia crowd last night his former high school students inspired him.
They encouraged me to run for office. They saw in me what I was hoping to instill in them, a commitment of common good, a belief that one person can make a difference.
Harris and Walz are scheduled to speak in Eau Claire sometime around 1 in the afternoon. Republican running mate J.D. Vance will also speak in Eau Claire. Stay with Civic Media for live coverage. The former warden at the Waupun State Prison is pleading not guilty to charges in an inmate's death. Randall Hepp is charged with felony misconduct in office. The inmate died in his cell of dehydration. It was one of five deaths at Waupun in the last 13 months. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Aspirus St. Luke's held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for their new parking garage on Tuesday. According to a Northern News Now report, officials say the $14 million parking ramp in downtown Duluth will make parking easier for everyone, with spaces for both hospital patients and workers, and for the general public. The parking ramp is owned by the City of Duluth and Interstate Parking. Funding for the project was provided by the city and a state grant. The ramp features 330 parking spaces in total. Members of the encampment outside of Duluth City Hall are reportedly building barricades after being told to leave last week. According to a Northern News Now report, the city posted a 7-day leave notice last Tuesday after the city council approved new ordinance changes to crack down on camping on city property. Members of the encampment say their goal is to remain there as best they can, building the barricade to slow down any removal efforts. City officials have not shared a time for those removal efforts to begin. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers take a stand in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers, after a poor performance over the weekend in Washington, dominated the Braves in Atlanta. A final score 10-0, led by Willie Adames, who had not one but two home runs to get things started on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
And a fly ball to center again. Sends Kelnick back. And Adames again leaves the yard. A pair of two-run homers for Willie Adames.
Colin Ray pitching seven scoreless innings. NFL training camp, the Packers' Matt LaFleur has decided to play his starters when they head to Cleveland to face the Browns. The kickoff is Saturday afternoon at 3:25. The Wisconsin Badgers camp continues in Platteville, Wisconsin, where defensive coordinator Mike Tressel admits they need more depth on the Badgers' defensive line.
You know, I don't think it's any shock to be fresh every single snap. There's nothing else like it in sports where 700 pounds are just lining up to hit you in the mouth every single play, and if you even relax, you look foolish.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny and mild today, with high temperatures a touch warmer, rising to the upper 70s. As a cold front sweeps through the state tonight, chances for light, scattered showers push on in and linger through tomorrow morning. Then, our temperatures take quite a spill as we close out the week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
It's time to seize the moment. Trust the team at Round Lake Marina to get you on the water with dock and lift installation services and premium boat rental and sales. They carry the brands you love. Sea Arc, Godfrey, Nautique, Canda, Shore Station, and Pure Pleasure. They're raising the bar for your summer experience, ensuring endless fun and relaxation on the water. Live free, have fun. Visit us at 12480 County Road B in Hayward, Wisconsin, or online at roundlakemarina.com.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7-year-olds. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Coming up, Kamala Harris is in Eau Claire with her new running mate, Tim Walz. Jim Santel filling in for Maggie Dawn.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin and worldwide on the Civic Media app, I am not Mr. Todd Albaugh. I am one Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Albaugh as he is live on location at the campaign event taking place this afternoon in western Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Bon Iver currently taking the stage. We've heard from speakers including Governor Tony Evers, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, and more already this afternoon, expecting the vice president and her pick to be vice president, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, coming up shortly. We're going to be bringing that live special coverage to you in Todd's absence. I'm joined here in studio by Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and remote via StreamYard through from our nation's capital, Trygve Olsen. Gentlemen, excellent to have you here on this Wednesday afternoon. I apologize that I am not Todd Albaugh, but really thrilled to be with you to bring the event and for Todd to get the chance to be there live and in person. We've got a lot of news coming out of the pick for Vice President Tim Walz. It's going to be very interesting to see the two on their second time on the stage together since the announcement yesterday. And we've got a lot. It feels Wisconsin is the center of the political universe, Terry, and we've got all these events taking place like this over the next 90 days. I feel like we're going to have a couple more.
Oh, yeah. And today especially, Wisconsin, a battleground state, the third district, a key race for control of the U.S. House this fall. There's probably no more appropriate place for the eyes of the political world to be than on Eau Claire, Wisconsin right now. And that's where they are, in fact. And also, stealing a little thunder down in Milwaukee, the Marquette Law School poll has come out with its latest numbers. And it shows, this should not be a surprise, a virtual dead heat with Vice President Harris up by 1 point, both among registered and likely voters. But that, of course, is well within the margin of error. So the race has remained close. In fact, Vice President Harris may be a couple of points outperforming what President Biden was doing before he dropped out of the race. So we've been curious to know what the effect of President Biden dropping out of the race, Vice President Harris taking his place in the campaign, what that would do. And it appears nationwide that it has been a Harris bump a little bit. And in Wisconsin, the effect has been somewhat muted, but still a gain for Harris.
And so this is the first polling since that announcement, I believe, 17 days ago?
The first Marquette poll, sure.
First Marquette, the gold standard for polling here in the state of Wisconsin. Trygve, anything that really pops out to you from today's Marquette University Law School polling numbers released in this first poll here in the state since Vice President Kamala Harris taking over the top of the Democratic ticket?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing that jumped out is they have a number in there that Trump versus Biden, it was 47 Trump, 42 Biden. So the bump towards Harris is actually pretty substantial, given that when they asked the question with Harris versus Trump, Trump drops one and Trump stays the same, and Harris pulls sort of that middle that was sitting out. So I think the bigger thing, Terry, I just saw on social media some of the videos that they're showing of that crowd up where Todd and Pat and those guys are in Eau Claire. It's massive.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I don't have psychic abilities, but I cannot imagine Joe Biden having turned out volumes of people like this. This is something we haven't seen on the Democratic side all year long.
Yes, and it feels...
Yeah, and the reality is there were real questions whether Joe Biden was viable still in the state of Wisconsin. Could he win the state of Wisconsin before he stepped aside? He was consistently polling 42, 43, 44%. And so it was putting those voters in a really awkward spot. I think now with Harris, there's an energy. And some of that's just natural, right? Like the American people for the last 8 years have had two older people. Now they have a younger person on the ticket. And Walz is, somebody made the point, Walz is younger than Brad Pitt.
Wow. That's an observation.
I believe Governor Walz and Vice President Harris, roughly 6 months apart in age. Like, they are about the same age themselves. So definitely a much younger ticket than what it was just a few weeks ago. It's going to be interesting to continue to see the polling as we learn more. This is obviously news with Walz being on the ticket. It will be interesting to see. There's been a lot of discussion since the vice presidential pick for the Republican Party has come out of how effective a vice presidential pick can be, what it means for the polling. So now that we have the two tickets, I would believe pretty solidified, but with everything that's occurred over the past few weeks, that's not a guarantee. But the Trump-Vance-Harris-Walz matchup, it's going to be interesting to see with voters getting the opportunity to see these candidates, because here in Wisconsin, we are going to continue to be, all signs point to being, the center of the political universe, as Trigvi, you've alluded to, and Terry, you've alluded to, the third congressional district, Western Wisconsin, being even more of the epicenter of the political universe, if that's possible. But there's a lot of eyes on the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be interesting to hear from the Harris and Walz campaign as they take the stage momentarily here. Folks, you're listening to the Todd Alba Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Todd as he is live on location at the event in Eau Claire, Wisconsin this afternoon. We're going to be bringing you special coverage of that speech as it comes live this afternoon. You're listening to the Todd Alba Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. It's going to be very telling, though, what occurs over these next 2 weeks leading up to the DNC and early voting starting, Terry. I believe in Pennsylvania and a number of other states, voting gets underway in a much briefer time than 91 days from now, or whenever the election day is for November.
Right. And here in Wisconsin, people have been voting already in the August 13th primary. A couple things about Eau Claire, or at least one thing about Eau Claire that I neglected to mention. This is Tim Walz's backyard. I lived and worked for about 5 years in Eau Claire. And Western Wisconsin, in many ways, is an extension of Minnesota. If you live in that part of the world, you might work in Minnesota. You might live in Minnesota and work in Western Wisconsin. Or you have family, or you grew up in Minnesota, you went to UW-Eau Claire, you went to UW-Stout. Those two areas are very interconnected. So I think maybe some of the excitement for Tim Walz in Eau Claire is due to the fact that, he's practically one of their own.
And Trigvi, as you alluded to, similar media markets there. There's some bleed over of who Walz is as a political figure as well, and what he's done in the state of Minnesota in his time as governor. And before that, I would assume serving in Congress and He's had a pretty detailed public life that we're finding out. A lot of people are saying, hey, he flew under the radar. Where did this guy come from? He was one of the lower profile candidates for the vice presidential pick for the Harris team. What do you believe is the background that really ultimately led to Harris's team feeling the most comfortable with going with the governor from Minnesota?
Well, you know, I can't speak for the Harris team. I just think they were looking at, all right, here's our options. We've got some good governors or Mark Kelly, senator from Arizona. And at the end of the day, I think what Walls kind of brought to the table is that he can go in Michigan and Wisconsin and communicate a message in a very folksy, connected sort of way. And I'm not sure that, you know, Shapiro clearly would have helped in Pennsylvania. But if you were to look at the states in terms of how they should fall, Pennsylvania tends to be a little bit more Democratic in presidential races. Wisconsin and Michigan are going to kind of decide this thing. And Walls brings some real tangibles to the table, I think, for communicating to those voters. And a good contrast with J.D. Vance, quite frankly, with people in places like Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, he is also in Eau Claire today. He's holding a press conference.
Big day for the news team here at Civic Media going around the state.
Yeah, talk about, you know, Eau Claire being the epicenter. So our Melissa Kay is standing by outside of the Vance event. We'll be hearing from her shortly. And it's been interesting in the fact that I guess a lot of people in Eau Claire were anticipating the Vance event to be open, to be more of a rally or a campaign speech. It's really going to be more of a closed political, more of a closed media event. So some disappointment about that. Melissa will have more on that in just a minute. And it's been interesting. There's a new NPR PBS Marist poll showing while Walls is virtually an unknown still, Vance is facing some growing unfavorable rating. This is NPR, PBS, and Marist College. The poll finds 71% of U.S. adults have never heard of Walls and don't know how to rate him. Meanwhile, now that we've had a month or so to get to know J.D. Vance, he has a 34% favorable rating and a 43% unfavorable rating. And again, they're going to make stops in Eau Claire today and then moving on to Detroit, Phoenix, and Las Vegas for the rest of this week. So the more people see of J.D. Vance, you can read in this poll, the more they don't like him.
Yes.
And he has work to do at this event today.
And a very interesting rollout for, since normally you see a bump in some of those numbers as you're announced for the vice presidential ticket for a major nominee, Vance seeing kind of the opposite of that.
Well, he's been making some of his past and current comments are hurting him, especially with some key voter blocks. So I think that might be some of what you're seeing happening with these Vance numbers from this public media and Marist College poll.
Well, it'll be interesting to see as he takes these media events. It seems he did one in Pennsylvania yesterday following the first rally held by Harris and Walls. And he's here in Wisconsin, in Eau Claire, in the shadow of the Harris-Walls events as well. It's going to be interesting to see how that tactic improves or doesn't improve those numbers that he's seeing.
You're exactly right about that. I mean, if it works, you might see more of this happening. It's unusual. I mean, sometimes you have surrogates following an opponent's campaign around, never as high as the running mate, as far as I can recall. I could be wrong about that. But if it works, this may be something you see happening more often. Certainly, an opposing campaign does not want to be completely left in the shadows. They want to be part of the conversation on a day like today as well.
Just about 30 seconds before left in this segment, Trigvi, your thoughts on the Vance numbers?
Yeah, I mean, it's called bracketing is what they're trying to do. I think it says more about how the campaign feels about J.D. Vance that they've now given him a junior communications role.
That's Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Todd Alba. We are covering the event in Western Wisconsin. Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz going to be taking the stage shortly. We're going to continue the coverage right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the state's premier agricultural expo. Farm Technology Days will be hosted at the Close Farms and Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, August 13th through the 15th. Check out the showcase of cutting-edge farm technology and sustainable ag practices. Find all the details at wifarmtechdays.org. The Eau Claire area is going to be bumping with the Reverb Music Festival. Enjoy the best of emo, pop, rock, hip-hop, and more with stages set up all around the Eau Claire Event District of 20th Avenue. Reverb is happening August 16th and 17th. And more great music will be featured at the Great River Folk Festival in La Crosse. Dance, art, crafts, performances, and a songwriting contest, too. Celebrate the folk arts of the Driftless region at Riverside Park August 23rd through the 25th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to Civic Media News special coverage of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz campaigning in Eau Claire. All eyes in the political world on Eau Claire right now. Representatives of, you have the top of the ticket for the Democrats, you have the running mate for the Republicans, all in Eau Claire this afternoon, and a lot of attention being paid to Wisconsin, as it will, between now and the November election. A very important state and a very important time. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News here on the Todd Aubaugh Show with Luke Mathers and Trigvi Olson, and we're getting set for the vice president's remarks, which are scheduled to happen any time now, but of course these things rarely go off on schedule, although all our indications are that the program is moving right along north of Eau Claire at the former Country Fest grounds.
Correct. And we've got Bon Iver, who just wrapped up, it seems, at the event. Todd Aubaugh and Civic Media, or Up North News, Pat Kreitlow, are there at the event. They're covering the vice president and her running mates, Tim Walz, comments coming up to you, and we're going to be bringing those comments to you live here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, talking about the importance of Western Wisconsin, kind of the overlap between the state that Walz represents in Minnesota and the blending of the Western Wisconsin and Minnesota culture. Very similar vibes, but not completely the same. Your thoughts on the fact that this here is the second rally for the two candidates running together after we saw in the conclusion last month of President Joe Biden, then the Democratic presumptive nominee, stepping back and saying he would not seek his party's nomination, and Vice President Kamala Harris becoming the presumptive Democratic nominee, her first event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're seeing a lot of the candidates coming here, as Terry alluded to. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee for the Republicans, also in Western Wisconsin today. Just the magnitude of what's going on there in Western Wisconsin and the importance of these candidates coming to voters that may be the ones to decide the presidential election.
Aaron, can we get confirmation that Melissa Kay is on the line with us? She is, and she is outside the J.D. Vance press conference. And Melissa, can you give us a sense of what the mood is where you're at?
Hi, Terry. I'm here in the industrial park, Willard International, where J.D. Vance and his caravan just arrived. There was a crowd of about 100 people out here that were waiting for his arrival. The overall mood, I would say, is disappointment that they were not allowed in. This was apparently a private event, and everything that people that came saw online was the doors open at 11 and he gives remarks at 1. So people are pretty disappointed that they wouldn't be able to come in, but the hardcore ones definitely stayed and showed their support.
Do you have any sense, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, do you have any idea what the running mate, the senator plans to say today in Eau Claire?
No, there was zero indication of what he was going to talk about. I think that there was one lady I spoke with early on, about 11:30 here this morning, who took off work to be able to be here today because she was actually invited to come and then was told that she couldn't get in. And she gave me a short interview and said that she had really hoped to be able to, you know, give some question and answer time, as it was indicated to her, and to get to know him a little better. But she was invited and then told she couldn't attend.
Oh, that is that's a surprising development. Melissa Kay, our Wisconsin Rapids Bureau Chief. Melissa, thanks so much for all your hard work today.
Yep, you're welcome, guys.
Okay,
thank appreciate you. It, Melissa.
So, so we don't have any advanced copy of J.D. Vance's remarks. I can guess they're going to be very similar to what we've been hearing in the last 24 hours or so. Phrases that I keep hearing repeated is, you know, radical left agenda and that sorts of things. It'll remains to be seen whether that kind of rhetoric will hold up with voters, but that's what we're hearing so far.
It doesn't seem to be advancing the cause at the moment.
Well, and one of the comments I saw with the news yesterday of Governor Tim Walz being the pick for the vice presidential running mate of Kamala Harris, the comments were that from Senator Vance that the Harris team bent the knee to the left, and some form of reference to the fact that Walz was chosen over Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, seeming to try, as Terry, you've alluded to, painting this radical left brush for the governor from Minnesota. He seems to be taking a lot of those attacks, Trigvi, pretty well in stride in the lead up to the being picked as the vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris. There were interviews several times that Governor Walz did saying, hey, I'm not going to apologize for putting food into kids' bellies and making sure that they were fed going to school. It's going to be interesting to see, and your thoughts as a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, if these attacks of painting Walz as a far leftist radical, you think those are going to strike with the campaigns?
You know, I think they're to be expected. I think they're going to have a hard time doing that with Walz to a degree, as much as it matters. I mean, VP picks typically matter only around the edges, but the bottom line is, you know, Tim Walz is a hunting guy. He's a gun guy, but he's a gun guy who says, you know, we need to be responsible in terms of addressing some of the things that are happening at schools from time to time. I think they're going to have a hard time doing that. I really, really do. But, you know, obviously they're going to say it and they're going to say it and they're going to say it and hope that it sticks. I just think, you know, in the places where Walz will matter from an electoral standpoint, in places like La Crosse or St. Croix or Polk counties, you know, the places that see him more often as governor, I just don't think that's going to be the case. And quite frankly, you know, when you think about the race in Wisconsin, it really comes down to Democratic turnout in Milwaukee and Dane County versus the suburbs and Brown for Republicans. And then it's going to come down to those counties that touch I-94. And if you live in Eau Claire or La Crosse, or quite frankly, in Hudson, you're going to see a lot of presidential and vice presidential contenders, both on your TV and literally in your communities.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
It's going to be very interesting to see that those communities along I-94. Also, the president, Joe Biden, he has been facing those attacks. He had a similar retort, not exactly the same vein as Governor Tim Walz, but more along the lines of, well, if you think that I am a radical leftist socialist, his response was, I beat the socialists, in reference to Senator Bernie Sanders. And so it will be interesting to see if those punches that the campaigns will be sending of trying to paint the vice presidential pick for the Democratic Party as a far leftist socialist, if they land or not. But I believe, as you pointed out, Tim Walz used to have an A rating from the NRA. And it was something that he had as a centrist Democrat from a rural area in Minnesota. And as a father, you alluded to, Trigvi, as we were with Todd Alba here on the program a little bit earlier. He's a girl dad. His daughter, after the Parkland shooting, said that he needs to do more in addressing the gun violence that students are facing. And as a former teacher, he donated the campaign contributions that he had previously received from the NRA, and now is a very, very common sense approach saying, I'm a gun owner, I hunt, I believe he's made several references to pheasants and other hunting that he does yep. in Minnesota. And so it's going to be interesting to see folks trying to paint a pheasant hunter from rural Minnesota as the far left, but it will be very interesting as these campaign attack ads really heat up over the next 90 days. I thought we were watching the stage there, and it looked like somebody was about to
check. It looks like there's a lot of excitement up there. Yes. I think that's a familiar face, I believe, at the podium. That may be Ben Wickler, if I'm not mistaken, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, but we can zoom in closer, and in fact, is not.
It is not. No, nope.
Another bearded person.
I was just saying, they were just testing, but we're getting close here. Folks, you are listening to special coverage. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, speaking in Western Wisconsin this afternoon. We will be bringing those remarks to you live here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba as he is live on location there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, joined by Terry Bell, news director for Civic Media here in the world headquarters, high above State Street, and joined as well by Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It's going to be a very interesting campaign cycle here, Terry. One of the aspects that a lot have talked about in the recent month since the top of the ticket change for the Democratic nomination is well, it's too short of a campaign. It's too soon to the election kind of remarks saying, well, you already had a primary. You can't do you can't just change the top of the ticket like that. A 90-day, 100-day, 110-day window, very common for other countries. Your thoughts as somebody who's covered a lot of these presidential races in the past, what do you believe that's going to mean for a condensed cycle this year?
Well, what may happen, and I read an article this morning that said that if Harris wins, we may see shorter election cycles in the future. Usually they start right after the midterms for president. If Harris is successful, candidates and parties may take a step back and say, do we need this grind and this expense for a year and a half when we can do it inside of a year? And so that will be the interesting thing for me to follow, for me to see whether it bears out, is whether or not campaigns get shorter. I'll tell you, voters, I'm guessing, probably would be very much in favor of that. It seems like we live in a world of constant campaign mode. And frankly, I think it's part of what's turning people off about participating in
the
system.
Fatigue.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And then we seem to be living with it year-round. Every year.
Well, I don't want to scare you or not, but we do have a state Supreme Court race that will be coming up in February.
That's quite true.
And April of 2025.
And
so,
the
yes.
stakes will be exactly the same as they were last year.
Here in Wisconsin, no sign of letting up for that mm-hmm. election fatigue. Trigvi, your thoughts on how this condensed political cycle will have an effect on future political cycles?
You know, I'm not sure that it will have much. I mean, I think it was kind of an extenuating set of circumstances that led to what we saw. Now, did it work out well for the Democratic Party? It appears that it did. But I don't know that structurally, really, things are set up in such a way to have this become more of the norm. I think the bigger piece of the 24-hour news cycle and everything is breaking news and every battle is existential, you know, some of that resides in the reality that we've had a group of people who've discovered that political extremism is a great media model. You can make a lot of money if you have 10% of the people outraged all the time because they're going to tune in nonstop. And hopefully we can move a little bit away from that element of it, because I think that's what makes people feel like they're having to live it all the time.
Yes, it will definitely be interesting to see if it is an exception to the rules, or if we're going to see any changes long term, or if it is we've been hearing for a very long time that the the cycle is going to break, that the fever was going to break for a lot of the political extremism that we've been seeing in the buildup of the last several years. But all signs do point that that extremism is definitely still on the ballots this November. So it will be interesting with the November's results of what will occur beyond that. Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba as he is live on location attending the event in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Vice President Kamala Harris and her newly announced running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, going to be taking the stage shortly there in western Wisconsin. I'm joined by Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. And it is shaping up to be, I think, a little bit a larger event than what is also going on in Eau Claire, as Melissa Kay was reporting just moments ago with us, Terry. I don't have an official headcount, but it looks from all accounts, this is a fairly sizable event taking place there in western Wisconsin.
One of the few and one of the first outdoor events for the Democrats that I can recall. Donald Trump was fond of having them outdoors up until the assassination attempt. I'm not aware of any rallies since then that have been held outdoors. But this is a bit of an anomaly for the Democratic ticket. But I think it's part of the rollout of Tim Walz, part of the introduction of Tim Walz to the American voters, and a lot of excitement in Eau Claire, as we've mentioned a few times on the show. Western Wisconsin is practically Tim Walz country. If you live in Western Wisconsin, people live and work across the border. People, have family across the border. It's very much one part of the world there, and so this is a homecoming of sorts for him. And also, a lot of excitement among people who want to be excited about this ticket in western Wisconsin. And anecdotally, the crowd images that we've been seeing online and on social media would back that up. One on X, there was a photo of a line of cars purportedly a mile and a half long on the way to the event, if that gives you any idea.
Yes, John Nichols, the reporter for The Nation magazine, joined Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow earlier in the 12 o'clock hour this afternoon, saying that folks were reportedly saying they waited in line for about an hour and a half to get into the venue. So it definitely, the stream that we are currently watching for the event shows a sizable crowd there in the country, the former Country Ground Music Fest grounds there just north of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And folks, if you are just joining us now and you did not hear, we also have news out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin this afternoon. We've got the latest Marquette polling, the first Marquette University Law School poll since the change of the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party. And we've got a pretty dead even heat, Terry, when it comes to the polling done by Marquette Law School. Your thoughts and the top lines provided by Marquette earlier today.
Well, we have among registered voters and likely voters a 1-point lead for Donald Trump in each category, 50-49. That's a virtual dead heat. That is well within the poll's margin of error. But perhaps more interestingly, as Trigvi pointed out, that represents a sizable bump that Kamala Harris had compared to what Joe Biden was polling right before he dropped out of the race. And that would be consistent with what we're seeing in other polls, especially in battleground states. This has become a real race again after, it seems to have flattened out before the Biden announcement of a couple of weeks ago. And
interestingly enough, having the numbers too of what the respondents to this poll would have said had the matchup stayed Biden-Trump.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it does change the dynamic of the race.
I can't imagine that there's too many pollsters out there that have that opportunity to say, hey, we're in the midst of a pretty monumental switch of the top of the tickets for one of the two major party nominees. And it's one of those things where I think the 3 weeks leading up from the June 27th debate to President Joe Biden's decision to no longer seek his party's nomination was a lot of, well, we don't know what the alternative would be. And we kind of get a chance to see in this snapshot poll from Marquette University Law School the difference of where we would have gone, the road less traveled with had Biden stayed in the race. So I think that very interesting numbers coming out of Marquette.
Yeah, and also the poll does show it seems as though that Senator Tammy Baldwin is extending her lead over challenger Eric Hovde. That would be the other big takeaway from today's polls. Looking for the exact numbers, but that is what I understand.
I believe 53-47 was what I saw on the top.
53-46.
46. Trigvi, your response
amongst registered voters.
So,
you know, Luke, your point about Biden and where we'd be. I mean, the reality is, and I do quite a bit of survey research for other stuff that I do. You know, it was abundantly clear because we track this in places like Wisconsin post-debate. There was this 4-6% that really was uncomfortable with both candidates and were definitely not going to vote for Trump, had voted for Biden in the past. They tend to be more right of center. They're back in Tammy Baldwin. After the debate, Biden's numbers just eroded amongst those people and amongst the intensity of his base. And it was clear those voters, the lift, and it probably was impossible for Biden to get those people back. Just too many of them were going to say, I'm not voting for either of them. Harris changed that entire dynamic.
And I've seen comments,
I think, furthers it.
And I've seen comments, Trigvi, since the change at the top of the ticket there from the Harris campaign saying that if they lose this election, it is not because they lost it to Donald Trump, but instead they lost it to people sitting the election out. And so it's going to be very interesting 100%. To see how voters are responding. This first Marquette University Law School polling gives us a little bit of a sampling of it, but it, as we alluded to as well, a very condensed cycle with these two candidates, the Harris-Trump matchup at the top of the ticket. And we are going to hear from Vice President Kamala Harris and her selected running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, coming up shortly. Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers. We've got Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow live on location, along with Civic Media news reporter James Kelly. I'm joined here in the studio by Civic Media's news director Terry Bell, as well as Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, covering the events in Western Wisconsin this afternoon. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Terry, after today's event, it seems the vice president and her running mate, Walz, are going to be heading to a number of other battleground states. Wisconsin, yes, we like to wear it as a badge of honor that we are kind of that political yeah. center of the universe. Oh, yeah. But we are not the only stop for this trip across the swing states. Harris and Walz is going to be visiting, I believe, Michigan this afternoon, and then on to other battleground states that before this the change of the top of the ticket seemed like they may not be battleground states. There was going to be a narrowing of how many states were going to be up for contention for this presidential race come November. But North Carolina, Georgia, and then I believe Arizona and Nevada as well, all on this list that Harris and Walz will be visiting in the coming days. Your thoughts on the ticket going to these battleground states and trying to expand the map beyond just the Midwestern quote-unquote blue wall of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
I'm glad you mentioned the blue wall. One analyst I heard said that really Harris, if Harris wins Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, that she would have enough electoral votes to win. But it's probably smart on their part to think beyond that blue wall, to be getting into places like you mentioned, Arizona, Nevada, and out east that you know, that are swing states. Pick those up, you know, get that cushion, so to speak, so that, you know, you never Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, incredibly important, but you don't want to leave anything to chance. And so that's why we're seeing this ticket going to so many places and, riding this wave of goodwill while it lasts. And we'll see how long it will last beyond, the next couple of weeks. Campaigns slog on, surprises come up. We don't know what we're going to find out in the next week or two about any of the candidates, and that could change things quite a bit. So, they're riding the wave of goodwill for Tim Walz while it lasts, and that's a smart thing to do.
One of the things we don't know yet if there will be is a vice presidential debate or a second presidential debate this cycle. We've seen former President Donald Trump take a step back from the September 10th debate that he had agreed to with President Biden. And it seems like there is not yet set in stone, just with the recency of the announcement of Tim Walz being the vice presidential selection, if we're going to have dates and specifics for debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. Trigvi, your thoughts on whether or not we're going to be getting some debates this cycle, and if or whether or not the Harris team is going to agree to, say, a Fox News debate that the former president, Donald Trump, is suggesting be in replacement of the ABC debate.
So I think, it's one of the issues that we have is for decades, the Presidential Debate Commission made the worked in a bipartisan way to make it happen. The Republican Party pulled out of that. You now kind of have the free for all of candidates directly negotiating with each other. I can't imagine a scenario, given that Trump agreed to go on ABC, that Harris campaign is going to accept going on Fox News. I just don't see that happening. I think there will eventually be a presidential debate, one more, just because the pressure to see it is going to be great. It probably will be the ABC one. Vice presidential debates, I can't imagine we won't have one, but you never know. I mean, because it's uncharted ground without that check of the Presidential Debate Commission. And the death of that is really kind of sad. It was imperfect, but it was compromise.
Yes, and one of the remarks from the Republican, I believe the RNC itself, post the convention in Milwaukee, saying that they would not agree to a vice presidential debate quite yet because they did not know who Vice President Kamala Harris was going to be choosing as her running mate. Kind of made in jest at the time, Trigvi, but a little bit different political landscape that we all live in now, as opposed to those final days of the Republican National Convention that wrapped up in Milwaukee last month.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast all that kind of transpired. Right.
Well, yeah, it's definitely whether or not that individual for the Republican party decided that they may have willed it into existence. We'll never know that or not, but it is very, very strange that that is the events that unfolded the way that they did.
If I were the chancellor of Eau Claire or La Crosse or Stevens Point, I'd probably be reaching out to major news organizations and saying, hey, we'd love to host a presidential debate. Let's try and convince them to show up.
And right? I believe UW-Milwaukee hosting one of those presidential debates back in the 2020 cycle leading up to that election. So definitely something that could be on the table here in Wisconsin, the possibility of hosting any of those potential debates that could arise. We are now going to be joined by civic media reporter James Kelly, who is on the scene live at location there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. James, what is the scene there at the event like?
Well, there is a lot of excitement, and it's growing pretty quickly. We had a little musical performance earlier, and now we're just kind of waiting for the actual show to begin.
Any word, James, of any developments as far as, what we can expect to hear today or anything that's come through that we haven't learned in the past half hour or so here at the studio?
We haven't learned anything new here, I would have to imagine, given what Eau Claire is facing right now with the healthcare crisis, that is going to be somewhat of a topic that gets covered, even, you know, nationwide. Access to affordable health care in rural areas, that's a big issue that's affecting a lot of communities, and especially here right now with two hospitals being lost. So I would imagine that's something that will get covered at some point. And I'm sure Governor Walz is going to have a lot to say about the relationship between Wisconsin and Minnesota.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but have there been any word about crowd estimates coming your way?
You know, I heard a few people talking in the thousands, and it looks pretty accurate to me. There's a main stage area here with rafters that are completely full, and there's a general admission area that's right in front of InStage, also completely full. And then if you go around the corner from where the stage is, it looks like an absolute sea of blue signs. Everybody really excited, everybody cheering. There are a lot of people here.
That's for sure. Thank you. James Kelly, Civic Media's Chippewa Valley Bureau Chief, on the scene. He's there with Todd Aubaugh and Pat Kreitlow. I'll get it right. I have a communications degree.
I was struggling with Pat's name myself as well. That's why I was going. And James, we'll make sure that Terry doesn't send you on assignment to get an official head count by going around with a clicker or anything like that.
Yeah, whatever you guys need. If we want an official head count, I'll start counting.
Thanks, James. Yeah, we are still, the last word is that this is supposed to have happened about 20 minutes ago, so we're not quite sure what the delay is about, but I'm sure it's for a perfectly good reason. A lot of people patient, might as well be outside on a day like today. The weather is absolutely gorgeous,
much
especially
better,
for early August.
Yeah, much better today than any of the point last week,
because I cannot imagine
being out there, but definitely... A sizable crowd in Western Wisconsin. Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are covering the events of Vice President Kamala Harris attending a rally announcing from her pick yesterday of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. It is a sizable event in Western Wisconsin. The Vice President and the Governor's response coming shortly here. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director here in the headquarters in Madison. We've got Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board and are joined by Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. Leading up to these events, it is going to be an interesting political cycle. There is no shortage of surprises. If you told us a month ago that this was going to be the Democratic ticket being announced yesterday in Philadelphia and campaigning today here in Western Wisconsin, it would have been hard to believe, but it is one of those things where things move quickly. We're covering these events as they occur. So you want to download the Civic Media app. Be sure to take us with you wherever you go. You can stay in the know when it comes to breaking news. And we will be taking the remarks live for the Vice President and her running mate coming up shortly. Trigvi, before we were joined there by James, we were discussing the swing states and the all likelihood of the expanded map that there may be now with the change at the top of the ticket. Your thoughts on the other states that these two candidates will be heading out to and apparently tailed by Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance when it comes to events later in the week in states like Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada.
Yeah, those are all, you know, at the end of the day, it really comes down to three states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. If Kamala Harris wins those states, she in all likelihood is going to end up being elected. If she wins a state like Georgia, she's probably going to have won those other three. Arizona is also to a degree on the list, and Nevada, North Carolina, maybe a little bit. But the truth of the matter is most of the action is going to be Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, Arizona. And you see that with the VP picks of both candidates, and that's just really where it's going to be. You know, what's different about the race with Harris in it, could you have a situation where states like North Carolina or Georgia are much more competitive? Yeah, absolutely. Whereas with Biden, quite frankly, if the map was going to get bigger, it probably was going to get bigger in places like Minnesota and places where Trump was having an advantage. So at this point, you know, I think the race either stays really close, which is the most likelihood, and it's going to come down then to places like Western Wisconsin, certain parts of Michigan and Pennsylvania, or you could have a situation where Harris ends up, you know, getting a bigger lead, and then you start seeing Trump have to defend turf that's unexpected. And we should know that by early September, where the race is sort of sitting.
Okay, so if things are still really close, one of the scenarios for the electoral map that had been arising a little bit more, I believe, back when the matchup was still former President Trump versus President Biden, was the scenario of the sole electoral vote in Nebraska that is independent and votes off individually, the Omaha, Nebraska, I believe, area. Part of that was coming into contention of we had Republican state officials in Nebraska floating the idea of not allowing that sole electoral vote to be able to be independent. Governor Tim Walz, originally a Nebraska native, do you believe some of those concerns about whether or not Republicans can pick up that district in Nebraska? Do you think that gets subsided by the pick in Tim Walz with the native son on the ticket? Or do you believe some of those concerns still arise in the party politics played around that sole electoral vote?
It is the Omaha. It's the Omaha congressional district. It's Don Bacon's seat. It's University of Nebraska, which, you know, a lot of these university areas are kind of swing areas now. I don't know that, you know, when Biden was on the ticket, it was abundantly clear that the race was going to potentially be a referendum on Biden, and that was not a good thing. Probably was the one way that Trump could win. I think you're going to see less discussion about one electoral vote in Nebraska, and you're going to see a lot more discussion about is Georgia in play, and how close Georgia is or how close North Carolina is than that, which would have been the case with Biden. And because quite frankly, the Biden team was really scraping to get any electoral votes that they could because they had such problems in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, it will be interesting to see as we have today here in Wisconsin, some of the first polling since the vice president, Kamala Harris, has taken over as the presumptive Democratic nominee. We will have more polling coming out as the ticket is being formed, as it was yesterday in Pennsylvania, of being a Harris-Walz ticket. Folks, you are listening to Civic Media special event coverage. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by Terry Bell, news director for the Civic Media Radio Network, as well as Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We are going to be covering the remarks coming from Vice President Kamala Harris and her newly selected running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, coming up momentarily. We are watching the events as they unfold in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this afternoon. We will bring you those remarks live when the two take the stage. And anything stick out to you, Terry, from the remarks as their first campaign event held at Temple University in Philadelphia yesterday evening? Was anything in particular that stood out for you with the rollout of the Walz pick?
Well, it seemed to go very smoothly, as you expect it would. The one thing that stands out to me, kind of a fact that I personally think is very interesting, when he was a high school teacher, in the very same year, he coached his high school football team to a state championship and was the faculty advisor to his high school's Gay-Straight Alliance. So, you know, it's something that would have seemed hard to imagine 40, 30, even 20 years ago. You know, somebody who is so many things to so many people.
That occurs in the mid-90s as and, well. So at a time when...
This was unheard of at the time. And very considered very risky.
Yes. And so, and that state championship, I believe, coming 3 years after the team had zero wins. Wow. So taking over a program, from my understanding, that went from 0 and however many games they played that season to just a short 3 year period later, winning the Minnesota state championship. Very interesting to see. Yes, he's a football coach. Those remarks from Vice President Kamala Harris were clear, referring to him several times yesterday in Philadelphia at the rally, announcing him as the VP pick, referring to him as Coach Walls. Mm-hmm. One of the other references made yesterday at the rally, and will be interesting to see if these remarks continue on the stump going forward, but Vice President Harris referencing, if you compare Walls's record with Vance's record, we've got the varsity squad versus the JV squad. Mr. Zommers, if you want to play it for the people, this was at the Temple University rally announcing Vice President Kamala Harris's pick as Tim Walls for her running mates in Philadelphia last night.
In fact, when you compare his resume... to Trump's running mate. Well, some might say it's like a matchup between the varsity team and the JV squad.
So those are some of the remarks on the stump yesterday. Trigvi, your response to kind of that comparison of records between the Republicans' pick for vice president and the Democrats.
Well, I think at the end of the day, in places like Michigan and Wisconsin, you're seeing an Ohio venture capitalist being what the Donald Trump and MAGA version of the party believe is the Midwest versus a former school teacher and Marine or Army. Yeah, I think he was in the Army, governor of the state. And that, you know, who likes to hunt.